This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking about documentaries and beer, as we have the guys from One City Films in talking about their short documentary, Fuck Your Hair. These last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley.
I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And I'm not sick, and we have guests in the studio.
It's just like old times, man. Yeah. Glad you're back, man.
Feeling good.
This one's going to be a doozy, man. We got the team behind the Five Rabbit Cerveceria documentary that's coming out pretty soon. Fuck Your Hair, the story of the beer and the Donald and all those things, right? This is One City Films. We got Nick Jenkins, and we got Teddy Wackles.
Thanks for having us, guys. How'd I do? Yeah,
you said my number.
Oh, you nailed it, man. That's bad a thousand.
Yeah.
Very good. Congratulations.
Yeah, glad you guys are here, man.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah. This is a fun story and one that's been in the works for a little while now, right?
Yeah. No, it's been in the works for a little while, and it's one that came together. Unfortunately, our director Jason couldn't be here today, but he was really kind of the driving force behind the whole project. And met Mila and Andres through his previous job, which was producing a show called Chicago's Best on WGN, and has been, a big fan of Five Rabbit Cerveceria for a long time.
Okay.
And approached them, and they've been very supportive of us telling their story in a unique way in this film. Mm-hmm. So
for anyone who doesn't, I guess, know the story and seen it, could we give a brief thing without giving too much of the movie away?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do our best. And Teddy, if you want me to tell you, I'll tell you, and then you can jump in and kind of fill in the holes.
I'll jump in, Nick. You go ahead.
All right. So so the film follows the infamous Chingatupelo protest beer, which, really started, take a step back from there, it really started as Trump's Golden Ale. So Five Rabbit Cerveceria in 2014 was selected. They won the contract to brew the Trump Hotel's private label beer, which for a small craft brewery is a big opportunity, especially with a very crowded craft beer space here in Chicago. And they were brewing the beer for a number of months, and didn't really think too much about the relationship because it was literally called Trump's Golden Ale. So it was a very simple beer that they were making, but it was high margin beer because they just made it every month, sold however many kegs, and sent it off to the hotel to be served. Mm-hmm. But then Trump chose that to run for president and started running his mouth. And from day one, really, of his presidential candidacy, he announced that he was running for president and said, Mexicans are rapists. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. And Mila and Andres, the founders behind Five Rabbit Cerveceria, they are Latin American immigrants themselves. Mila is from Peru, and Andres is from Costa Rica. But both of their daughters were born in Mexico, so they were very offended. Not just because they themselves identify with the Latin American and Hispanic culture, but their daughters. It was like Trump was sort of challenging them in a way, and kind of got together as a core team the next day after that infamous announcement speech and said, light bulb went off, and they're like, we can't do business with this guy anymore. Mm-hmm. And from there, they made the decision to stop brewing the beer. But that's really where the film, that's where the climax of the film kind of takes off, because you look at the repercussions of, is Trump going to sue them? Are they going to be, they brewed all this beer. What are they going to do with it? Like, what is the Chicago community going to think of them for essentially ripping up a very profitable contract?
Right.
And that's where the film kind of dives in and goes deeper into their morals and mm-hmm. what they were intending to do by famously brewing this protest beer of Chingatupelo. Yeah,
I think changing the name or calling it that helped maybe get the word out even more versus like them just being like, yeah, we're taking it, and it's still the Golden Ale, but now we're just not doing it for that. So I think making it a protest beer had the selling factor behind it for them.
Definitely, definitely. I think when you dive into their Teddy, you know, we spent a lot of time with both Mila and Andres as part of this movie, and Teddy, you can kind of speak about the differences between them both, but, you know, one of my favorite parts of the movie is that you get to see the different personalities at Five Rabbit, just within the company themselves. You know, I think if you asked Andres, what do you want to do after kind of ripping up this contract, so to speak, you know, Andres was thinking about all the people that he employs, like, how is this going to impact, you know, the many, many workers that he has at his brewery? And I think Mila wanted to make more of a statement out of it. So, yeah, I definitely think that in the long term, the Chinga Tu Pelo branding was important. But, you know, in our film, we kind of dive into that discussion of, like, is this the right thing to do for the long term of their business?
Oh, and it was a good beer, too. Mm-hmm. One of our interviewees in the film, too, he says, you know, if it was just the protest beer, Chinga Tu Pelo, and that was it, people would have one laugh and move on, but it was a good beer, so people bought more and more and they wanted more, and you can't get Chinga Tu Pelo anymore, but the same beer, it's the same exact beer, isn't it?
La same Protesta. Qualities, yeah. Yeah.
They make a beer called La Protesta, which is in liquid form the same thing as Chinga Tu Pelo. It's just wrapped as La Protesta. They didn't want to stick with the
We recently had that, and I was
we had La Protesta
confused
on the
about
show.
What it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's what you would have drank, you know, a couple years ago, right, with the Chinga Tu Pelo label on it.
Why not keep it?
Why not keep Chinga Tu Pelo?
Yeah.
I liked it when it was called Chinga Tu Madre myself.
You're old school, man. Yeah.
but that's a bit much. But yeah, you're saying, like, why not just roll Chinga Tu Pelo?
Like, yeah, like, you have the fuel behind them. Like, I wonder what.
I think they didn't want to just stick with the maybe not the negative, but the middle finger kind of anti-Trump label behind it. They wanted to make it bigger than that, beyond just, you know, Trump's kind of hateful rhetoric, to a bigger thing, just La Protesta. And I think proceeds from the sales of La Protesta go to various charities.
Yeah.
And I think they're right. Four cans? Did the fourth can come out yet?
So the fourth can came out, and I think
this Friday, right?
I think it's the 18th of January. Yeah, so this Friday.
This Friday, okay. Yeah, they have different artists from Chicago do the can art for La Protesta. One of them is Lily Wachowski, and she's in the film. She did the one with the big heart on it. I'm not sure which can
that's
you guys
the one
had.
We had. That's the one we had with the heart on it.
That's Lily Wachowski, and Deanna Solis was another artist from Pilsen. She did, I don't know how to explain it, but it's another really cool can art, and she's also in the film.
Yeah.
So I think, in short, they just wanted to, you know, it's kind of the same, you know, fist in the air, but it's not just focused on, you know,
one
fuck
person.
You, Trump. It's,
yeah,
it's bigger. It's like more community.
Right.
It's more more positive than the middle finger vibe.
Right, and I think they never intended their beer to be like, you know, the ultimate protest beer, but they've sort of found themselves in a place where they made this epic stand against Trump, and, you know, Trump became president of the United States. That's where we're at now. But they didn't want to keep making a beer that just said F you Trump, F you Trump, F you Trump. They wanted to fight against all the issues that matter to them. So they have, you know, as Teddy mentioned, they have an anti-bullying La Protesta can. They have one that goes to environmental activism causes. They have one that goes to, you know, migrants and immigrant children causes. So it's more than just saying, like, yeah, we're going to fund the DNC, or, you know, we're gonna say something that is very anti-Trump. It's like, how are we going to actually start putting money towards other things that matter to us besides just, you know, impeaching Trump or getting him out of office.
I also think you, in Illinois, there's like a fine line of like beers that make fun of people and like getting in trouble with that. Like, Illinois has a very strict rule on that. You don't see a lot of breweries do that here because
Midwesterners is nice people.
Yeah,
too.
It's like, but it's like they're more likely to get in trouble, like whatever the law is. Like, I've talked to some people and they're like, yeah, just you have to change a couple things. You can't call it, like, you can't.
Yeah.
Say certain things. So
yeah,
I
it just can't
that
be so blatantly
a
person or your likeness. Yeah. And we actually talked in the film to a guy named Battle Martin, who used to be with the TTB, who accepts or rejects labels, language on cans, bottles. So he talks about looking at, you know, when Five Rabbit was submitting the label, like, we have a new beer, Chinga Tu Pelo, here's the artwork. And, you know, there were issues with the translation, like, what does it mean in English? And they kind of beat around the bush and said, I don't like your hair, we dislike your hair. And, you know, I don't want to give away too much because that's kind of a pivotal moment. But ultimately, the U.S. government said, you can say whatever you want. It just can't be like, you know, Donald Trump on the can.
Yeah.
So they, you know, that's where you get the text kind of covering the face, and it's all you see is the hair. And so in his view, you know, it's clearly Donald Trump, but he was like, this could be any guy with a big head of hair. Send it through. Yeah, you have the right to say whatever you want. It's just, and this doesn't look like anyone in particular. And
that's awesome.
And then,
okay,
you know, they hit the stores.
It's such a cool story, man. It's such a cool Chicago story. You know, there's so many, like, you know, so many Hispanics in Hood County, you know, and then, like, you know, how they're all the way out in Bedford Park, but they touch all every segment of what Chicago is all about, right? And in a lot of ways with this kind of stance. How long did it take you guys to shoot this film?
Well, so we started actually, we started at the end of February of this past year. Yeah, so about a year ago now. We started with our first interview. Our first interview was Monica Ang from WBEZ. And then, you know, we continued production roughly into the summer, and then went right into editing.
So relatively short.
Yeah, relatively short. All things considered. I mean, you know, you talk to some people that work on films, and some people, you know, depending on what they get going on, they'll spend 3 years with the film. But we really wanted to make sure we got this out in a timely manner because, you know, Trump is, again, still our president right now, and I think we didn't want the story to get too stale. But Mila and Andres wanted to tell this story at this moment because things had kind of settled down for them. They had started to, you know, move on from the Chingitupelo saga, and they're doing La Protesta right now. But we wanted to make sure it was still fresh, but had kind of died down for them in a way.
Okay.
And, you know, the opportunity to present at the Siskel was just, we were applying to film festivals, and we're still looking at the film festival circuit, but the ability to kind of bring this film at this moment to, you know, a stage like the Gene Siskel Film Center here in Chicago, we just couldn't pass up. So we wanted to make sure that we got that out there before too long.
Nice. And it's almost like a perfect time with the government shutdown
wall.
Kind of like,
I know,
too perfect.
I know. I know. It is too perfect in a way. It's sad, it's quite timely and relevant, that's for sure.
I'm going to try that alarmist pie hopper, the beer. No. Oh, okay. Not over there, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't have any Five Rabbit beer as we're talking about Five Rabbit.
That's okay.
We didn't think about it. We thought about it 10 minutes before.
Wait,
it was
we got a prize for you. Okay,
I'm sorry, I forgot this. It got a couple
of koozies.
Oh, nice. Okay.
For you guys. You don't have to put it around the glass to get the glasses going, but
no, this looks cool. Thank you, man. I like this. I'm gonna use mine, I think.
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
Yeah, man. It's a nice little fuck your hair koozie here. And One City Films on the other side. Hey, man. So, with One City Films, have you guys? I'm excited. You know, A, about the Five Rabbit. You know, and but B, about the fact that there's a beer documentary on a local Chicago brewery. Like, where does this fit in what you guys typically do at One City Films? Have you guys done beer docs before?
No, we kind of focus on social issue films, and so we have a feature film in the works about My Block, My Hood, My City, which is a nonprofit here in Chicago run by Jamal Cole. We've been following him for the past couple of years. But this film really came about because Jason, like I said, had worked at Chicago's Best and had come across a story. And Jason's actually, among Teddy, myself, and Jason is actually the beer aficionado of the group. But we enjoy it. We enjoy imbibing and having a nice cold beverage. But we focus on social issue films, so I don't think this is too far outside of the range of what we're doing. But this is like the first true, entirely interview-based film. Our other films that we're working on in the Jamal Cole film is what we call a verite film. So it's observational. We've been following him as he's trying to build his organization over the past 2 years. So it's less interview-based and more, you know, kind of run and gun with a camera on our shoulders, following him, truly fly in the wall. But we really like this format, and I think it's, I will be honest with you, it's easier to tell in a way because it's less, with the story about Jamal Cole, we're kind of piecing together the story, and we have 130 plus hours of footage now.
Wow.
So we've got a shitload of footage that we've got to go through.
I feel
through.
Like it's got to be more than that.
It might be 150 now. I mean, last time I checked
it. We're filling up hard drives quick, I don't know.
So it's a lot of footage, but again, we're with the Five Rabbit film, it's still in the social issue arena. But it's telling a story about something that happened in the past. And we've kind of already scripted it out before we actually shot the interview. So it was easier some way to edit. But like I said, not so far up outside of what we're trying to do as a filmmaking team.
Right on. That's cool.
Were you, Nick, you've seen the doc now. Was
there
anyone who worked at Trump Tower at the time able to talk in this, or did they talk?
Yeah, I think what we saw was like there was a connection between one of the guys who sold beer at Fire Rabbit and one of the guys who was like maybe like the bar manager or something at Trump, right? And that was a connection. And they got together and said, hey, we should probably do something.
Right? Yeah, we talked to Mauricio, who was the former. He doesn't work there anymore. Otherwise, I don't think he'd talk to us if he was still there. But he was, at the time when this all happened a couple years ago, he was the food and beverage manager at the Trump Tower and Hotel. And so he and Chompy, who's the guy from Five Rabbit, who was kind of doing sales at the time, they were the two who came together, kind of developed a partnership. Mauricio said, I need a beer. And Chompy was like, all right, I'll get you a beer. And that's what ended up being the Trump's Golden Ale, which then was Chinga Tu Madre, and then Chinga Tu Pelo, and now La Protesta. So yeah, I mean, we talked to a former food and beverage manager at the Trump Tower when this happened. And like I said, the guy from the TTB used to be a government worker. So kind of what Nick was saying a minute ago, it's really, we just brought all these people together, as many that were willing to talk to us. I don't know if anybody really rejected us, I don't think, but... And just have them tell the story. You know, it's we're the medium from the people telling the story of what really happened to get it out, you know, to you guys and the public to hear what really went down. Because to my knowledge, and I think we talked about this recently, but I don't think Andres and Mila or anybody from Five Rabbit did. There was a brief press release, like a written statement from Andres and Five Rabbit, but they didn't. They got calls from all the news stations, all the talk shows, like, come talk to us about your anti-Trump beer. And they never, I don't think they ever did a single interview on TV.
They just kind of did it. This is like
from the horse's mouth, I hate that expression, but this is really the first time you're hearing it from them. Here's what happened, and it's really just everyone involved telling the story. And
well,
that makes it feel like it came from a good place for them versus like, I'm not doing this because we want to sell this beer.
It's actually the opposite of a publicity stunt. You know, people, I mean, it's not even that, but you know, some companies will do, you know, whether it's outlandish beer labels or, you know, they'll create wild ad campaigns just to sell some products. And again, like I said before, if it was that was it, you buy one because the can looks cool and then you're like, okay, you know, moving on. But it was really, and we've said this over and over, it was morals over money. You know, cause, I mean, like, again, they left a lot on the table by doing this, but you know, who knows, maybe long run it will end up being better for their business just because of that stand instead of just taking the check, you know, like everyone else might normally do.
Yeah, like I've run across, you know, those two, you know, Mila and Andreas, but I don't really know them. But this takes a lot of balls, man, because like you said, they're right downtown selling this beer, you know, a crushable beer at a property that sits right on the river. Right in the middle.
Who knows what they sell a pint for, too, like $12 or something? I don't know what they sell beer for there, but probably a lot.
I'm thinking about these Fire Rabbit guys, and I'm like, even from an outsider perspective, right? Like, you look at some of their beers, and you're like, well, we drink their beer, but then like some of their beers were like, man, why don't you put the Golden Ale in a 30 pack, right? And put it right next to whatever Modelo, Tecate, whatever, you know, that denominator beer is, and just go after that. And they're like, nah, man, we want to be in this museum. You know, we want to throw parties at this art festival. Like, they just have a different vibe than you're expecting. Like they run it the way. From an outside, like, I wouldn't run it that way, but I respect the way they go about their thing. It's not, they don't take the obvious approach, and it's kind of cool. It's refreshing, you know?
No, I mean, I think they really nail branding. Like that, they don't get a lot of credit for it, but I think that they do a fantastic job branding their beers and branding their brewery. And, you know, Randy Mosher is
behind it.
Randy Mosher is behind it, too. So they've got, you know, they've got an all-star team, and you know, they just do a fantastic job branding their company overall. Mm-hmm. So the other thing I was just going to build on what Teddy was saying was, like, this is something that we discovered in doing this film that has never really been talked about. And, again, probably because they don't do a lot of press about the story, but they were literally the first company to stop doing business with Trump after he announced he was running for president.
It was the next day, I think. So it was less than 24 hours, they're like, we're out.
They called them Mauricio at the Trump Tower at the time, or whoever was, you know, kind of their point person. They were like, we're done. We're out. And you think about, you know, you kind of do like a plot of like the other companies that stopped doing business with Trump. Macy's, NBC, etc. It took them, you know, 10 days to a week to kind of make that decision because, again, they had boardrooms that they had to talk to. They had, you know, board of directors. They had, you know, these big corporate types that they had to go through and figure out, okay, is this the right decision? But Five Rabbit was like the next day, you know, the three of them, really, Mauricio, or I'm sorry, Chompy, Andres, and Mila kind of got together and they said, we're out. We're done. And for a while there, for like a week period, they were really on an island by themselves. You think about that. It's like they were kind of setting themselves up for litigation by the Trump Tower. And then, you know, you saw that 10 days later, 2 weeks later, Macy's, NBC, Univision kind of came together and they were like, we're also dumping Trump. So Trump had a lot more people that were done with him.
If it would have just been them and didn't follow that suit, they would have probably...
They're kind of waving the white flag in the middle. They're like, come sue me. You know what I mean? But yeah, that takes a lot of balls, man, when you really think about it, to just go out on your own the next day and be like, we're done. But, you know, fuck it, we're out. So... That was something that we discovered that we were like, holy shit,
it's heavy stuff, man. When you dive into it, man.
Yeah, I don't know if I could turn down. I don't think we really know the true dollar amount and the exact penny details of the contract, but I don't know if I'd be able to.
You have to
walk
assume
away
that
from something like that.
It was
you know?
One of their bigger projects. You would
have that it was a golden ale in the end. After like it's like too good.
I know. Trump's golden ale, man. It's like it brings back like you know harkens like P tape memories. Like
can't write that. I know. We're living in a reality show. You know?
I know for sure.
Man, so what's next, man? Let's talk about what we got. Siskel Theater, right downtown, across the street from the Chicago Theater, right? That's where the next viewing's going to be, right?
Yeah, world premiere is the 25th of January at 8:15. Andres and Mila will be there. Nice. A couple other people who are in the film will be there. We'll be there, me, Jason, and Nick. There's a Q&A afterwards, free Five Rabbit to drink. Friday the 25th at the Siskel Center.
Yeah, so we have a pre-screening reception. Starting at 7.
Pre-screening reception at 7.
At 7, inside the Siskel. So free beer, that's what Teddy was saying, yes.
That's the free beer. Free beer at 7, film is at 8:15, and then we also screen Saturday, and then the following Wednesday. Q&As abound.
Yep.
We're doing a double bill with another film called 63 Boycott, so you're getting two for one, basically. And they're actually on the short list right now for Best Short Oscar. Best Short Documentary for the Oscars.
So actually, if you're on the fence about coming out, you should probably just go see their film because it's really fucking good.
Yeah, the bonus, you know, we bring the free beer. So,
we pitched the Siskel Film Center, and we were like, look, you know, we've got these two films coming out of Chicago right now. The 63 Boycott is by Kurtempkin Films, and they've done Hoop Dreams, The Interrupters, you name any big Chicago film.
I saw Hoop Dreams.
Yeah. Chicago documentary, they've probably done it. And they have this, as Teddy mentioned, this Oscar-nominated short that was just released called 63 Boycott. And we kind of put together this Chicago protest double bill is what we're calling it because both of our films, their film is about the 1963 student-led walkouts against segregation in Chicago public schools. Our film is about a 2015 protest by a brewery here in Chicago. But again, it's all about ways Chicagoans are kind of standing up for their rights and having their voices heard. And their film is 30 minutes. Our film is just under 40 minutes. So you buy one ticket, you get both films in a 70-ish minute double bill. And we're going to have joint Q&As afterwards to talk about kind of the history of protests in Chicago, making these films, and you know what the future holds for all of us.
Fuck yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Hey, so Siskel, I guess that's their angle, the Siskel Center. Like, cause it's not like a movie theater you can go up and watch, you know, the latest Spider-Man film. Right? No, it's not that kind of joint. Yeah, it's not. But it's a film theater that sits right downtown, and that's their thing to showcase. It sounds like to showcase like things that are important.
Yeah, they and especially, I mean, here in Chicago, they are amazing when it comes to working with like kind of emerging filmmakers here in the city. But yeah, they're kind of an art house independent cinema, and they have two screens. We're going to be playing on the bigger screen. It's 150 seats. So if you haven't bought your ticket, you probably should. It might sell out. You never know. But they have two screens, and they really kind of nail the independent art house genre, foreign language film, like films that you wouldn't see at an AMC, to your point, like you're not going to go see the newest Spider-Man there, but you're going to see kind of like emerging directors, emerging artists that really have unique stories to tell that, you know, might not get picked up by like an AMC or a Regal or a, you know, name your big time theater.
Or Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix. Yeah, yeah, even, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we're really looking forward to playing there. It's going to be great, and many of the documentaries that have been seen and shortlisted for Oscars will play at the Gene Siskel because, again, a lot of these documentaries don't get looks at the big theaters, unfortunately. So
right on. Right on.
Nice. Yeah. Anything else you guys are working on coming up besides this?
Can we just give a shout out to Sandra?
You do a shout out. Let me just throw this plug.
All right, plug it.
Yeah. If you want to get tickets to Fuck Your Hair world premieres Friday, January 25th, go to siskelfilmcenter.org/fyourhair.
Okay.
Just the letter F, your hair, because they're not going to put fuck in their website, which right. We totally understand. So siskelfilmcenter.org/fyourhair.
Nice. We'll include a link too. So cool. Just click on that link.
Sure. Cool. Perfect. Even better.
But yeah, do you mind if I give kind of a shout out to Sandra?
Oh yeah. Go yeah. For
so
it,
Nick,
yeah.
You've seen the film.
Yes. And then at the end, you know, there's this loud booming music that takes you out.
Yeah.
And then after like maybe 30 seconds to a minute in, you're like, oh wait a minute, I know that song.
Yeah. So and the genesis of the song is kind of unique in a way, because we were looking for that idyllic, like, you know, something everyone could kind of identify, song about America, or, you know, the values that we all hold as Americans. And we kept coming back to America the Beautiful. But we wanted to put our own twist on it as a team, as a production. And, you know, we said, well, this song is about, you know, Latin Americans, it's about Hispanic people. Let's see if we can find someone who would put their own flavor to it and maybe sing America the Beautiful, but in Spanish. And, we were introduced to Sandra Anton Georgi, this amazing artist out of Pilsen, who has done a lot of mural work down in Pilsen and McKinley Park and in Southwest Side neighborhoods. And she came into the studio, and we kind of had this first meeting, like, you know, bouncing ideas back and forth about what do you want to do? Let's see if we can kind of, you know, we want to do America the Beautiful, but maybe we'll do another song. And she came into the studio that first time, and she was like, she already had like 6 or 7 different beats and versions of the song that she wanted to do. So we knew instantly that it was like, wow, gonna be this awesome marriage. And went into the studio a couple weeks later, and she just belted out what you hear at the end of the film, America the Beautiful, America la Hermosa in Spanish. And it's an original, you know, she translated the lyrics, but a lot of the lyrics were written in the early 1900s, so they don't translate as well to modern day. So she had to kind of interpret the lyrics on her own. And she just came into the studio, spent a few hours, and just nailed that song that you hear at the end of the film. So thank you to Sandra. She's been fantastic. And we're hopefully, this is, after we get done screening at the Siskel, we're talking about putting together kind of a double bill with her, where she would play a concert and then we would show the film immediately after.
Nice.
So that's
okay.
Something to keep on, you know, on the lookout for. We haven't nailed down a date yet, but we're hopefully going to do that in the Chicago area, probably in February or March.
Nice. I know Five Rabbit often has music there, so music is like an important part of them too.
Yeah.
So
absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Cool.
Art on many levels on display at the Siskel on 25th. So that's gonna be good.
Nice.
Yes.
Grab your tickets.
Yeah.
Grab your tickets now.
So where can people then, as far as this, but then afterwards, find out more about you guys, what you're working on? Website, Twitter, what's
the best place? Our website is onecityfilms.com, and then that'll have a bit about all of our projects that we have going on. Like I said, we have this feature-length film about my block, my hood, my city here in Chicago, and Jamal Cole that we've been in production on, and you can see updates there. And then specifically about the film, for future screenings, go to our Facebook for this one, which is facebook.com/fyourhair, and that will have the Siskel screenings on there, but any future screenings that we add, both in Chicago and outside, will be there as well.
Awesome. And then, Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. Everything gets posted there. And we'll see you at the Metro Party this weekend.
Oh, man, Metro's 10th anniversary is coming up. Man, that came up quick, man.
And then we'll be back next week with another episode.
Yeah, man. Nick, Teddy, One City Films, thank you guys for coming out, man.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. Yeah,
cheers.
Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Cheers.